Unit 11. Listening. Part 3. You'll hear an interview in which a writer called Peter Dell is talking about the Brooklyn Bridge in New York. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
And on the book programme tonight, I welcome writer Peter Dell, who has just published a book about the Brooklyn Bridge in New York.
Thank you.
Readers of your book will realise at once that you feel very emotional about New York's famous bridge, Peter. Is it a place you visit often?
I go across it whenever I'm in New York. The atmosphere is very evocative. You sense it the moment you arrive at the bridge. If you approach it from the Brooklyn side, you can see Manhattan in the distance, and the sun going down like a giant red beach ball behind the skyscrapers. If you go in the winter, the cold gives an edge to everything, a sharpening of the senses. The buildings you can see are a memory of everything that has passed before. But at the same time, there's the solid presence of the Statue of Liberty to remind you that things do survive, and I like that. And as the sunlight fades, the darkness brings a sense of mystery to the city.
And of course, as you walk across the bridge, you're aware of all kinds of traffic, aren't you?
Absolutely. The traffic thunders across, loud and ugly. But the pedestrian walkway is one level above the bridge, so there's a feeling that you're rising above life itself. The river below always reminds me that our ancestors arrived there on ships, so it feels welcoming. And below the river is the subway, where people will always hurry to and from work. And if you look up, you often see a helicopter taking off. So the bridge works in a figurative way, representing past, present, and future. It's something poets like Walt Whitman and Marianne Moore have written about.
Tell us something about the construction of the bridge, Peter.
It was started in 1870 and completed 13 years later. It cost just over $15 million to build, and about 30 lives were lost, which people thought was acceptable at the time, but we certainly wouldn't now. It was designed by a man called John Roebling. At the time, it was the longest suspension bridge in the world, and its two granite towers were the largest in the Western Hemisphere. The caissons, that's the underground chambers they used to do underwater work, were made from rot-resistant yellow pine wood, which means that even today, tens of thousands of tons of masonry still rest on them. I was quite taken aback when I found out about that.
I see. And how do you think most pedestrians feel as they walk across the bridge today?
Well, you have to remember that when the bridge was built, there were no skyscrapers in New York. So people who crossed it in the early years felt as if they were walking up in the clouds. It's a very different experience these days, but it's still a real thrill for anyone walking over those wooden boards. I think the reason for that is the unique pattern of steel cables strung like a harp along the side of the bridge. It looks like a giant has left it there. It's one of the special characteristics of the bridge.
The bridge has been involved in some momentous events, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's attracted its fair share of madmen and would-be murderers. There was even a plot to destroy it by cutting through the support wires. Fortunately, that was foiled. But it's been fraudulently sold over and over again to gullible people who really should know better. And copies of it have been blown up in the film studios. But apart from the odd ship colliding with it, the real one has never suffered lasting damage.
And to finish, Peter, there's one interesting quality the bridge has for you, isn't there?
I realized there was something rather special, but in the circumstances, rather odd about the bridge some time ago. Now, I've never been there and been completely alone. There's always a cyclist or a lone jogger about. I don't think it's possible to be totally alone, physically at least, in New York. But despite that, every so often, you get this isolated instance of total quiet on the bridge, particularly when it's been snowing. And it's only when you suddenly hear a car or the barges sounding their horns on the river below that you realize, as you're walking along high above, what has just happened.